Welcome to the Acts in Africa audio recordings. This lesson was taught by Dr. Denny Miller in Jos, Nigeria in May 2015 at Evangel Theological Seminary and is entitled Suddenly from Heaven, Seven Ways We Can Expect the Holy Spirit to Come Upon Us. You can find the outline for this message in the book Proclaiming Pentecost, 100 Outlines on the Power of the Holy Spirit, lesson number 33. This book can be downloaded free of charge at www.decadeofpentecost.org. We hope you enjoy the session and would love to hear your comments. Feel free to contact us at actsinafrica@agmd.org.
We're going to return to the day of Pentecost, so I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 4. These are very familiar words to us, but I want you to keep your Bible open. When I read the text, don't shut the Bible. Keep it open, because I'm going to refer again and again to the text and see what we can learn about how we are to receive the Holy Spirit as they did on the day of Pentecost. If you'll read with me Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I just read to you about the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church in all of history. There have been many more outpourings of the Holy Spirit on the church, thousands, ten thousands, hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of outpourings on the church since the day of Pentecost. But what I read to you was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church of the church, the first Pentecost of the church. And I believe what we have here is a pattern on the day of Pentecost on how we can receive the Spirit, how the Spirit comes, how we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, how we can expect the Spirit to come upon us. And so right here, I want to talk about seven things that we can expect when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as I'm finished preaching, we're all going to gather up here in this area and we're going to ask God to do for us what He did on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to ask God to fill every one of us with the Holy Spirit at the end of this sermon today. And so let's look at Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. I want to talk about seven things we can expect to happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Seven ways we can expect the Holy Spirit. Number one, when you come up here to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you suddenly. You can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you suddenly. Look what the text says. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And so this coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples on the day of Pentecost was a sudden appearing of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. There may be a time of seeking God. There may be a time of prayer. There may be a time of preparing your heart before the coming of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes to baptize you, He will come in a moment. He will come in a moment. In other words, we are not gradually baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some teach that when you're born again, you just kind of gradually grow in grace, and someday, one day you wake up, and voila, you are full of the Holy Spirit. But that's not how the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit comes upon us suddenly. There will be a point in time. You will be in prayer, and there will be a moment when the Holy Spirit comes upon you suddenly. We see this happen in Acts chapter 10. You remember while Peter was at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? And he was preaching. And it says, while Peter was still preaching, suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. You remember that? He fell on those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And so there will be this sudden coming of the Holy Spirit. And so you can expect that to happen when you come to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what will be this moment? What will be the moment of the Spirit's coming upon you? It will be the moment of faith. It will be the moment of faith. And you need to understand this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and fill you and baptize you the moment you, by faith, reach out and appropriate the promise of the Father. So we can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon us suddenly. So we're going to come up here. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God for the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray, Holy Spirit, come upon me. We're going to pray, Holy Spirit, come inside me. And there will be a moment when you believe. When you believe, Jesus said, He who believes, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And there will be a moment when you say, yes, it is mine, I believe, I receive. You will sense the power of God inside you and you will begin to speak. And so the Holy Spirit, number one, you can expect Him to come up on you suddenly. Secondly, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come up on you supernaturally. Look what it says in the text. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And sometimes when the Bible uses that phrase, heaven, it is speaking of God. It's speaking of the dwelling place of God. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit will not be a man-made event. It will be a God-made event. God will appear and God will come upon you supernaturally. Look here, on the day of Pentecost, we had a supernatural wind. We had a supernatural fire. We had supernatural tongues. And so being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to understand, is a supernatural event. In fact, speaking in tongues is one of the signs and wonders that follow the church. It's one of the signs and wonders that follow believers. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall speak in new tongues. That's what Jesus said. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is what I'm trying to say. It is an encounter with a living God. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a man-made event. It is an encounter with the living God, so you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you supernaturally. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a mighty visitation from heaven. It is a person-to-person encounter with the living God. It is a dynamic, supernatural, life-changing event in the life of the believer. And so when you come up here to be filled with the Spirit tonight, expect to feel the supernatural power of God. Open your heart to God, because the Holy Spirit will come upon you supernaturally. First, you can expect Him to come suddenly, just as He did on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly there appeared a sound from heaven. And then you can expect Him to come upon you supernaturally, because this gift comes from heaven. That tells us it comes from God. Number three. When we come to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you powerfully. Powerfully. That's number three. Note that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit did not only come as a wind, He came as a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a powerful blowing wind. The Holy Spirit came upon them powerfully. When the Holy Spirit comes, He comes in power. In fact, Jesus had told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a powerful, life-changing event. Two things happened to the disciples. They were powerfully changed on the inside. Something dramatic and dynamic happened on the inside of the disciples. We see this possibly most clearly in the life of Peter. You remember Peter, how he was afraid to witness even to the young girl. Even when the young girl began to ask him if he was one of Christ's followers, he even began to use abusive language. You remember that? But now, because he was afraid for his life, but now after that the Holy Spirit comes upon him in power, he is changed on the inside. Something is different about Peter when he stands up, and we'll see it again and again in Jerusalem, where he stands up and challenges the religious authorities that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and they command him to quit preaching. And he said, we must obey God rather than man, and he continues to preach. And so we see it, the Holy Spirit comes upon us powerfully. But there's a powerful empowering of the Holy Spirit resulting in powerful words and powerful deeds. And so, number one, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you suddenly. Number two, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you supernaturally. Number three, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you powerfully. Number four, when you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you personally. Look what it says. Verse number two, and number three, and divided tongues as of fire came and set on each one of them. Now, as I read my Bible, and as I read different translations of the Bible, this seems to be what happened on the day of Pentecost. After they had prayed, the moment came when God poured out His Holy Spirit upon them. And there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And then, the Bible said, now let me back up a little bit. Sometimes we think of the day of Pentecost is happening, bam, 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 bam. But maybe that sound from heaven, that blowing wind, maybe it lasted 30 minutes. It may have lasted a good while. There was this sound from heaven, 30 minutes, and then it stops, and everyone is praying. They continue to pray, and suddenly, this is the way that seems to have happened. Suddenly, the disciples who were in the temple court, I believe, suddenly there appeared a great ball of fire over the head. Over the group, the whole group of about 120 disciples. That's about how many I would guess we have here tonight. A great ball of fire burst out on above their heads. And then that ball of fire began to divide itself into 120 tongues of fire. And one tongue of fire came and set upon each of them. There were 120 people there. There were 120 tongues of fire. God had a tongue of fire for each person. The Holy Spirit came to rest on each person there. That tells me that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come upon us personally. It may mean other things. I think it's significant that Luke describes this fire as a tongue of fire. He doesn't describe it as a flame of fire. That would have been accurate if Luke would have said, there appeared what to be a flame of fire on each of them. But he doesn't use that terminology. He uses tongue of fire because this is affecting their witness. They're going to use their tongues to proclaim the gospel to the lost. And so the symbol becomes a fiery tongue. A fiery tongue. A tongue set on fire to preach the gospel. However, that's another subject. The Holy Spirit came and set upon each one of them personally. Now, this is what I want to say about this. When you come up here to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you personally. The Holy Spirit, God knows who you are. He knows what you've been through. He knows your backgrounds. He knows your needs. He knows everything about you. And He has one tongue of fire. He has an experience tailored just for you. Now, in many ways, everyone is baptized in the Holy Spirit the same. It's not a different kind of experience for everybody, but it is a special experience. Some of you, when you speak in tongues, you will speak very loudly. When I spoke in tongues, I spoke very loudly. In fact, that's one kind of release my tongues. I said, oh, I'm going to speak, and I began to shout very loudly, and I began to speak in tongues. But I've talked to some people who speak in tongues very quietly. So they just need to speak in tongues loud enough to, for themselves to hear and for the person praying with them to hear, so it can be confirmed. But some people, they get very agitated when they're filled with the Spirit. Some are very calm. The point I'm trying to make is that God knows you. He knows your personality. He don't expect you to act like the person beside you. God expects you to look to Him in faith, receive by faith, sense His presence on the inside, speak as He gives utterance. That's the only sign He's looking for, is you speaking. It doesn't say you have to shout, you don't have to fall down, you don't have to jump up and down, you don't have to foam at the mouth, you don't have to roll on the floor. I suppose you can if that'll make you feel good, if that's the thing you want to do. But God won't I think God will just shake His head and say, "There he goes again." But that's not what we see happening on the day of Pentecost. What we see on the day of Pentecost is a tongue of fire sits on the head of each one of them. So, number four, was that number four? You can expect the Holy Spirit to come to you personally. Number five, when you are filled with the Spirit, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come to you. This is a big word I'm going to use. Pervasively. Now, we are in a Bible college, so I can use those kind of words. But let me define the word pervasive. Pervasive means filling every part. Filling every part. I remember I was in Kenya. This must have been 7 or 8 years ago. They had put me in the car and they said, "You're going to preach in a certain place. It's a district event." So they put me in a car and we drove and drove and drove and drove to this certain place. And we were in a large church, much like this one here, maybe a little bit bigger. But I was to preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because we were taking a class on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we were taking the class to the service to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so as I was preparing to preach, they said, "It's time for the children's department to come up and talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit." And so I was sitting over here, and so the children's minister got up and he said, "I want two children to come. And I'm going to show you an illustration of being baptized in the Holy Spirit." So he gave one child a glass of water. Do you call them glasses here or tumblers? It's called different things, different places. And he gave the one child a glass of water and the other child a large pitcher full of water. And he said to the one, he said, "Now when I tell you, start pouring the water in the glass. And when I tell you to stop, you stop. But if I don't tell you to stop, you don't stop. You just keep pouring." And so he said, "Now, okay, I'm going to pour the water in the glass." And he poured it about half full. He said, "Stop." He said, "When we are born again, the Holy Spirit enters our lives. And so that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit like this glass is indwelt by the water." He said, "Now I want you to start pouring again and keep pouring. And don't stop until I tell you to stop." And so the boy started pouring in the glass, and the glass started filling up and it was getting near the top, and both children, their eyes were getting very big. And he said, "Don't stop," and he kept pouring, and the water began to run over and fall on the ground, and finally he said, "Stop." He said, "When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, just as this glass was." And so he gave that illustration, and it helped not just the children to understand, but it helped the older folks to understand too. But there is another way to understand this idea of being filled. You look what I want to point out, that the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with... In fact, on the day of Pentecost, two things were filled. The place where they were sitting was filled with the presence of God. And individually they were filled with the presence of God. It said the sound, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So we know sometimes God will fill an atmosphere. His presence will come and He will manifest His presence, and we can sense His presence filling a place. But He will also fill His people. Okay, and that's the one I'm talking about right now. Now, I want to say the glass illustration is a good illustration, but there's another way of thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is a sponge. Do we know what a sponge is?
Yes.
Okay, sometimes these words change from countries to country for these different things. A sponge is one of those things with a lot of holes and pores in it that you dip in the water and you squeeze it and then you turn loose of it, and what happens? The water goes into every cell, every pore, every part of that sponge. And so the sponge is filled pervasively. The water pervades, that's a word, that's a new word you can learn. The water pervades the sponge. It fills every pore of the sponge. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, not only were they filled like a glass that overflowed, but they were filled like a sponge. In other words, the Holy Spirit came into every part of their being. And so when we come up here to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to open up every part of our being, every part of our hearts, our lives, our families, everything that about us. We say, God, I open myself to You. Fill me pervasively. Fill every part of me. Fill my mind. Fill my spirit. Fill my soul. Fill my body. Fill every part of me. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what do we have now? The Holy Spirit will come upon us suddenly. He will come upon us supernaturally. He will come upon us powerfully. He will come upon us personally. He will come upon us pervasively. And number six, when you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you verifiably. Did you hear that word? Verifiably. I hope I'm saying it in a way that you can understand it. In other words, God gave them a sign. God gave them an evidence. God gave them a way that they could know that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they left that place, they didn't all say, "Oh, I hope I was filled with the Spirit. I had faith. I felt something, and it felt good. And you know, there was I felt someone, the presence of God. But I don't know. How do I know for sure if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I know?" God gave them a sign so there would be no doubt that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." When you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit verifiably. God will give you a sign, and that sign will be the same sign that He gave the disciples on the day of Pentecost. You will speak in tongues as the Spirit enables you. And when you leave this place, there will be no doubt in your mind. There will be no questioning, because God gave you a sign. And when you begin to speak in tongues, that is God's sign to you that He has come upon you and He has come inside you, and the Spirit has empowered you to speak for Christ. It's God's sign that He empowered you to speak for Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, we should not doubt. We should expect the Holy Spirit to come upon us. In fact, I can tell you this. Tonight, when you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, expect to speak in tongues. Expect to speak in tongues. Just say, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and I feel His presence on me and I invite His presence inside, I expect that I will begin speaking in tongues. And so just act on your expectation. You expect to speak in tongues, so just go ahead and begin speaking. And as you begin to speak, a supernatural event will take place. You will begin to speak, but the words that begin to come out will be God-given words. Okay? Now let me add my final point. I said I had six in my notes, but I had seven in my head. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you today, you can expect Him to come upon you purposefully. Did I say that? He'll expect you to come upon you purposefully. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Let me stop right there. I know they spoke in tongues. I just talked about that. But they also began to speak in another way. They began to speak in their own natural language. After Peter spoke in tongues, he stood up and he began to preach. But Peter began to preach in a way he had never preached before. You remember Jesus had sent out the 12 and the 70 to declare the kingdom of God. You remember those stories in the Gospels? And they came back and said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from heaven as lightning. And they spoke, and they were given authority, and their words have authority. But Peter now is speaking in an entirely different way. God had a purpose for him being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You know, I talk a lot about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It gives us the purpose of Pentecost. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so now Peter and all the other disciples, but we focus on Peter. Peter is filled with the Spirit. He speaks in tongues, but he's not through speaking. Because the Holy Spirit had come upon him not just to make him speak in tongues, but to make him speak in his own language. Let me call it English. It wasn't English. It was Aramaic. But I'm using English for Nigeria. To cause him to speak in English. To cause him to proclaim the gospel as he had never proclaimed it before. And now the Holy Spirit had come upon him. And Peter begins to speak. And the words that he speaks are different kind of words. They are power-filled words. Jesus had said to His disciples, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And now Peter is speaking words that are spirit and they are life. Something happened. While he was speaking in tongues, something was happening inside Peter. Something was happening. He was being empowered. He was being filled. And now Peter begins to speak in his own language, in the language of Aramaic, the common language. And he begins to proclaim Christ, but this time His words are powerful. This time the Bible says as He was preaching, the people who were hearing Peter preach, they were cut to their heart. They were cut to the heart. His words had power. They had dynamic effect. And they began to cry out, Peter, Peter, what must we do? What must we do? Peter said, every one of you, you must repent. You must follow Jesus. Be baptized in Jesus' name. And you too, God will give you the same ability to proclaim the gospel with power, just as He's given to us disciples here today. When we come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think it's always good to return to the Bible. And that's what we've tried to today. And we've shown that when you come, you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you seven ways. Or one way with seven parts. I don't like to divide it all up. One way with seven parts. The Holy Spirit will come upon you suddenly. Suddenly. Now, by that I mean when you come up here to be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit, expect that there will be a moment in time when God expects you to speak. It will be at that moment when you believe and begin to speak that the Holy Spirit will fill you. Some of you are saying, oh, I wish God would fill me. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on that moment of faith. When you trust Him, you receive Him and you speak. Secondly, He will come upon you supernaturally. This will not be a human experience. It will not be an emotional experience. Emotions might be there, but it's more than an emotional experience. It is a supernatural encounter with the living God. Number three, you can expect Him to come upon you powerfully. Because God is coming upon you, He will come upon you in power. It sounded like a mighty rushing wind, and inside your heart it will be like a mighty rushing wind changing you. Number four, you can expect Him to come upon you personally. Don't expect that you have to respond exactly like the person next to you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He has a flame, especially for you. Number five, He will come upon you pervasively. He will fill you to the overflowing. But more than that, He will fill every part of your being. Number six, you can expect Him to come upon you verifiably. You will begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And you can expect Him to come upon you purposefully. By that I mean, He's coming with the purpose of empowering you to be a supernatural witness for Jesus Christ. Some of you, it will be behind the pulpit, but for all of us, it will be in our daily lives. In our daily lives, we'll be witnessing for Jesus. And so that's what we can expect. Maybe you ask me this question. Now, how do I make this happen? You've explained how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, but how can someone practically be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Well, Jesus left no question. Jesus gave us the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you'll need to do three things. Number one, when we come up here to be filled with the Spirit, we will ask. And we will ask with faith. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus said, "Ask." I preached on this last night. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you." And so we're going to come up here and we're going to say, "Jesus, You promised if I would ask for the Holy Spirit, You would give me the Holy Spirit." And we will say, "Jesus, I ask now, give me the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And you know what God will do? He will give you the Holy Spirit. He will breathe on you. You know that sound of a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost? You know what I believe that was? Now, I can't prove this with chapter and verse, but I have a strong feeling what they were hearing was the breath of God. Jesus breathed on them, you remember, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And now God the Father is breathing on them. He's breathing the Holy Spirit upon him. And the breath of God sounds like a mighty rushing wind. And you can expect God to breathe on you. We may not hear the wind, but you'll feel the effects. You remember Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, how you cannot see the Holy Spirit sometimes, but you can feel, you can see the effects of the Spirit's moving. John chapter 3. But the Holy Spirit, we will ask Him, "Heavenly Father, give me the Holy Spirit." "Jesus, You said if I would ask, I would receive." And the Bible says that when we ask, God will give us the Holy Spirit. And that's when you need to be very sensitive to God. Sensitive to God. The second thing we will do, once we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, we will receive the Holy Spirit. See, we ask in faith, one. Two, we receive by faith. You remember what Jesus said? Luke chapter 11, verse 10. "Everyone who asks receives." Receives. Now, how do we do this? Jesus tells us in Mark 11, verse 24, "Whatever you ask for in prayer," and this time we're asking for the Holy Spirit, "whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received." And so, you know, because we're coming expecting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Reverend Scott, we're expecting. And we're expecting when we receive the Holy Spirit, we expect to speak in tongues. Because we've learned that we know the Scriptures. Someone said the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know they were going to speak in tongues. Well, how do you know that? Jesus had told them, "These signs shall follow those who believe in My name, they will speak in new tongues." You'll expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You expect to feel His presence. You invite Him on the inside. You feel Him on the inside. And you expect to begin speaking in tongues when you begin praying. And so, believe it's going to happen and act on that belief and begin to speak. You say, why do we have to act in faith? And why do we need to speak in tongues? What Jesus is doing here, among other things, He's preparing you to witness in the Spirit. I almost preached a sermon tonight on witnessing in the Spirit. Because on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke by the Spirit two times. I've talked about this. He spoke in tongues, then he spoke in his own language. Both times he spoke supernaturally. Both times he spoke supernaturally. When I'm filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit comes in me and I feel His presence, now God wants me to speak, trusting Him for the words. Right? And so I begin to speak, and God begins to speak through me with words I don't understand. Now, when you go out witnessing, sometimes God will say, talk to that man. And you say, God, I don't know what to say. And God will say, you remember how I spoke through you in tongues? You just start the conversation, and I will give you the words. And so we speak in faith, not knowing what we're going to say. I have a friend. He's an Assemblies of God evangelist. And he was telling about an experience in his life. He was traveling and he has this large trailer that he pulls behind his vehicle because he has his family with him when he travels, and he had pulled into this filling station and he got out and he was putting petrol in his, actually diesel, in his truck. And over here there was a man that was filling his motorcycle with petrol. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my friend, his name is Tim, and the Holy Spirit said, Tim, witness to that man. And he said, what do I say, Lord? He said, you just start talking, and I'll give you the words. Just like being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so Tim said, I walked over to that man, and I heard come out of my mouth, I said, boy, you're lucky to be alive, aren't you? And the man looked at him and said, how did you know? He said, well, God told me to talk to you, and that's what came out. He said, well, you know, I had that motorcycle accident about 2 months ago, and the doctors didn't think I was going to live. And now look at me, I'm alive, and God has helped me. And so he was able to share Christ with that man because he was witnessing in the Spirit. See, because just like when he spoke in tongues, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He felt the presence and prompting of the Spirit. And he began to speak, not knowing what he was going to say. Now again, he meets a man in a filling station. And God says, speak. And he says, I don't know the words. I don't know how to say them. God says, you just start saying something and I will fill your mouth. And sometimes God will do that. Other times He will give us thoughts and we will begin with a thought. Sometimes we just begin the conversation, say, how you doing? My name is Denny Miller. I just was sensing the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I don't know if you believe this kind of stuff, but I believe it. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me and it told me to talk to you. Is there anything I can pray about? And then as we begin the conversation, God will begin giving us words and insights what to say. See, when we're filled with the Spirit and we've spoken in tongues, we know that God will help us to speak. This brings great confidence into our life that our speech is not just human speech, but God will give us supernatural speech. Sometimes that supernatural speech will be in a language we don't know. Many times that supernatural speech will be in a language we do know. And so I say this to say, when you come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, first you ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You ask for the Holy Spirit and God gives you the Holy Spirit. Then you invite the Holy Spirit to come inside you. Come inside me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, believe that you have received. And you believe and you feel His presence on the inside. And then you begin to speak, believing God to give you the words. Now the words, be careful, the words will not come from your head. The words will come from your spirit. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Paul said, if any man speak in a tongue, his understanding is unfruitful. He don't know what he's saying. Howbeit by the Spirit or from His Spirit, out of His Spirit, he will speak words he don't understand. He will speak mysteries. That's how Paul words it. So don't expect God to give you a sentence that you're going to kind of, like read off the wall, ooba dooba, ooba dooba. Don't expect that to happen. What you expect to happen is that you will sense the presence of God inside and you'll say, yes, God wants to speak, and you let the Holy Spirit flow out of you, and as He's flowing out of you, you begin to give it voice. And you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables you, or as the Spirit, a literal translation, as the Spirit causes you to utter forth. And so we ask in faith, we receive by faith, we speak in faith. It's all a work of faith. It's something we do in faith. So I want us to stand together.